Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Thursday, the 31st of July. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome in to 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. The Dean of Cathedral Isle of Man has been targeted by hateful messages and phone calls after displaying a Palestinian flag. The government has responded to a petition calling for more Manx produce to be stocked on the shelves here, and the annual Le Dan Cycling Challenge is set to take place. All those stories and more coming up. Drop me a line if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166177 or you can email to studio@manxradio.com. Well, first of all, though, let's head on over to Siobhan Fletcher, who has the latest news headlines. Faster Mai, Siobhan.
Faster Mai. Government urgently needs to make Manx food production more competitive, according to a local farmer. It says the Manx National Farmers Union has launched a petition calling for more food consumed here to be produced here. Stuart Mead is from Red Mai Farm near Balaff.
The government really does need to look quite closely about these additional costs that are levied on local producers and local farmers and work with them to see if there is a way of making us more competitive.
There have also been calls for government to introduce legislation forcing UK companies operating here to stock a certain amount of Manx food. But DEFA Minister Claire Barber says it's not as easy as that.
If we were to put a percentage at the minute, I'm not sure that we could fulfil it. That's not to say it's off the table. That's to say that we're aware that there's a possibility we may need to look at something like that, but that's not our first choice.
Meanwhile, a petition has been set up by the Liberal Vannin Party to reopen the Northern Civic Amenity Site's reuse shed. The party says it's a valuable resource for the communities in Ramsey, Garth and across other parishes. And Douglas Council says there is far better parking availability in the city centre than many people think. It follows calls from Manx residents for more spaces and cheaper or free parking in the capital. Further afield, a 76-year-old man remains in police custody on suspicion of a poisoning at a summer camp in Leicestershire. 8 children were taken to hospital and have since been released. Assistant Chief Constable James Avery says an investigation is underway.
Please be reassured that we have dedicated resources deployed and continue to work with a number of partner agencies as part of our response.
More than 25,000 migrants have now crossed the Channel this year in small boats. That's the first time this number's been reached as early as July. And Formula One world champion Max Verstappen has confirmed he'll remain a Red Bull driver next year. He had been linked with a move to Mercedes. There are your headlines. I'll be back with your news at 6.
Good reminder. Thank you very much for that, Siobhan. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Generally dry today with sunny intervals, moderate northwest wind strengthening and becoming a little gusty this afternoon. Maximum temperature of 19 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, though, mainly dry with bright or sunny spells, strong and gusty northwest winds gradually easing throughout the day with top temperatures of 18 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
Are you a landlord looking for an easier life with a guaranteed return? Landlord Lifeline specialise in helping owners like you. For a free, no-obligation meeting, call 616 600 or visit landlordlifeline.im.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. Kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank, whether it be food or essential items or financial support. Please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Well, it's approaching 5 minutes past five. During times of war and conflict, we often see the flags of certain nations being flown on the island in solidarity. But when Cathedral Isle of Man recently raised the Palestinian flag on its grounds, within days it was stolen. Dean Nigel Godfrey says the flag was raised as an act of mourning and a display of solidarity with the civilians killed in the ongoing conflict in Gaza. But in the days since, as he told Lewis Foster, he's been targeted by messages of hate.
The gardens, in a sense, are themselves are a major statement politically about the relationship the Isle of Man has had to the rest of the world. I wouldn't say that the flag outside, there are two Ukrainian flags on the inside of the building, I wouldn't say that that's any more politically significant than many of the other things that are around the cathedral. Christianity, by its nature, is making comment about people of goodwill. It's making comment about the world that we should live in. In fact, one of my sermons recently, which has been slated about the Lord's Prayer, "Give us today our daily bread." The us there is not just about me asking for my daily bread, but it's asking for me and the whole world. And therefore, I do link that statement as anybody who is hungry in our world should be part of the R. So it begins to look political if you want to see it that way. But it's what Christianity's about. I wasn't unsurprised that it disappeared. But we've had other flags up there which I thought might disappear, like Pride and others for different occasions. But what has supposed to surprise me is the anonymous emails or phone calls.
Regarding the flag, have you been able to replace it? Is there another flag up now?
No, there isn't another flag at the moment, but I may have a different strategy to do something. But I've clearly hit a mark with people. And if I encourage conversation about what can be done about people who are deprived of so much and how can we do something about it in our world, then that's for me is all to the good. But I'm not looking for a fight. I'm looking for reconciliation.
That was Dean Nigel Godfrey from Cathedral Isle of Man speaking about the hate messages he's received since putting the Palestinian flag on its grounds, which was then subsequently stolen. 7 minutes past five. As an island in the middle of the Irish Sea, food security is naturally something that is important to us here on the Isle of Man, and even more so this week as the Manx National Farmers Union has highlighted that just 6% of food consumed on the island is produced here. The MNFU has launched a petition calling for more Manx produce to be stocked on the shelves. And it's something the Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister Claire Barber told Amy Griffiths she fully supports.
It's certainly an area that we've recognised in the Food Security Plan, so absolutely support the work that the MNFU are doing in this space. And I suppose what we want to then see is the people signing that petition also making changes to how they purchase. And what we then need to understand is how we can make that easier for them. So I think there's a role for DEFA definitely in this, but it also is about all of us as consumers thinking and consciously making decisions about how best we can support those farmers and food producers on our island. So some of the first things we've done is actually looking at how we work with the Department for Enterprise, and that's been obviously quite a big piece of work. So really just trying to make sure that we're providing the right support in the right places. So some of that's been an early looking at how we do grant support, making sure that we're providing the support for SALSA accreditation, for example, but also looking at how we baseline the data. So some of that's trickier perhaps than we first imagined. One of the things that it's important to say, and if we work with the 6% as our best piece of evidence we have, that's how much we're producing and we're consuming. But of course, there is also what we're producing that's currently being exported. And from a food security perspective, what we saw during COVID, as an example, is we were able to divert some of that back to the island to give ourselves greater confidence during a specific period.
And has government ever considered introducing legislation for UK companies operating on the Isle of Man to make sure that they are stocking Manx products?
So that is something we've looked at and something that certainly we haven't taken off the table. We would far rather work with those companies to look at how we can support them to get more Manx produce into their stores. And I think one of the nervousnesses that I had when we started to look at this very early on was if we were to put a percentage at the minute, I'm not sure that we could fulfill it. That's not to say it's off the table. That's to say that we're aware that there's a possibility we may need to look at something like that, but that's not our first choice.
Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister Claire Barber speaking with Amy Griffiths.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Well, Amy Griffiths is back because the Archalligan plantation has reopened to the public. It's been closed since the start of this year. With more details is Amy Griffiths.
The devastating storms caused extensive damage to a large number of trees. Significant forestry operations have been taking place ever since to make the site safe again. The Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture says it may be slightly disorientating walking through at first because of the new vistas that have been created. Some parts of the plantation are still inaccessible because of the large amount of brush still on site, including some of the mountain bike trails. DEFA says plans are already in place to clear a portion of this to plant more commercial tree crops, reinstate the trails, and create new corridors for horse and cycle trails. It's also hoped the extra space can be used to expand the recreational offering in the months and years ahead. While car parks 1 and 2 are both now reopen, car park 3 at the end of the Erie Kelly Road will stay closed until further notice. DEFA says it's looking forward to welcoming visitors back, but warns Archalligan continues to be a working forest, so asks people to stay vigilant for ongoing tree felling operations and to stay away from active work areas.
Amy Griffiths reporting there. Thank you very much. 11 minutes past 5 on Manx Radio's update, and a South African couple is hoping to raise funds to contribute to a piece of equipment for the Royal National Lifeboat Institute. On the 4th of August 1991, Charmaine and David Diat were on a Greek cruise ship, Oceanos, just off the wild coast in South Africa, when it began to sink. This Sunday, a day before the anniversary, they plan to share their story of how they were rescued by civilians and the South African Navy. The duo are hoping to raise between £600 and £900 for the RNLI, as they believe services like this helping during emergencies to save lives. They share some of their journey with Chanel Suku.
We only got on in the afternoon, and 9 hours later we had to get off. It was sinking.
We went for supper, and we saw very quickly the waiters were having trouble just moving around the tables. Then crockery started flying off the tables and getting smashed, and other objects were falling out. The other thing that sticks in my mind is we made our way up to the lounge, and the ship was moving that violently, the grand piano flew off the stage. So we knew we were in trouble.
It does bring back memories, and we'd like to share this on the evening of the Sunday, the 3rd of August, as a fundraiser. You know, we want to share because they have commitment to saving lives at sea, and I think ours has been rated as one of the best rescues in the world, between the Navy and civilians.
I did read up that most of the crew and the captain had left the ship when they realized what was going on. How did you know that help was on the way? Did you guys see that civilians? Did you see the Navy? Were you all trying to find like the highest spot?
There was no official announcement. And as you're probably aware, the crew took the first lifeboats and they vanished. So it was the entertainers on that ship who actually coordinated the rescue. And I think the other very comforting thing for me, because I was looking out on the sea and other ships were coming and stayed around us, so at least you've got company.
There's a lot of funny things I remember, a lot of stressful things, stressful times. I do think when the anniversary comes up, I feel it in my body. We didn't actually panic. There was no sense of panic, but we were sitting in the dark, in the unknown for hours. And I think that the worst thing for me is when daybreak came, only then did the helicopters come. And by then we were hanging on to the side rails of the ship. And that helicopter, that's the strongest memory. So you could see them and hear them, but then there was a queue to get off. And we had a unique experience on the helicopter, but we will share that on the evening.
That was Charmaine and David Diat, and you can find out more on Sunday at Douglas Bay Yacht Club. That event getting underway at 7 o'clock in the evening, and as they mentioned, they're hoping to be raising funds for the RNLI to be able to contribute to a piece of equipment. Let's take a look at the travel now.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, there's a few things to be aware of. You see if you can count how many times I say temporary lights. In Douglas, the traffic light system at St Ninian's Crossroads is being replaced, so temporary lights are replacing the main lights and all filter lanes are out of operation. Also in Douglas, temporary lights on Woodbourne Road, that's for bus stop improvement works, and also a short stretch of Finch Road is closed for sewer work. Temporary lights on the Ballymoda, south of the shoulder road for tree works. Over in Ballasalla, temporary lights on the St Mark's Road, that's near the Phil Draw Road turn for gas works. In Sulby, temporary lights on the bottom of Sulby Glen Road, that's for ducting work. And over in Ramsey, temporary lights on the Bowring Road between Windsor Road and Coburg Road for groundworks. Also something to be aware of, the DIY has confirmed roadworks on the mountain roads are now complete. That means tomorrow's closure won't be going ahead and the road will stay open. Take a look at the steam packet. There's some delays to the Liverpool trips today. Mananan got away from Douglas about an hour later than scheduled, meaning its return will also be around about an hour behind schedule too. So that fast craft will be back in Douglas around 11 o'clock this evening, assuming all goes to plan. Let's take a look at the airport. On the arrivals board, a couple of things to be aware of. The 6:25 EasyJet to London from London Gatwick delayed until 7:45, and the departure the 6:55 EasyJet to London Gatwick delayed until 8:15.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
This Sunday, it's a special edition of Manx Radio's Chill Out Show live from Metal Lounge in Peel. Join us between 7 and 9pm for laid-back summer vibes, drinks with a view and great food available. All served up at this relaxed beach cafe at the far end of the prom. Sink into the sounds, enjoy the sunset and let the weekend fade out in perfect style. The Manx Radio Chill Out Show on Sunday the 3rd of August from 7pm at Metal Lounge in Peel, where the vibe meets the tide.
Looking to the sea.
Check Meta Lounge on Facebook for more.
Crowds of people wait for me.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
17 minutes past five. A petition has been set up by the Liberal Vannin Party to reopen the Northern Civic Amenity site's reuse shed. The party says it's a valuable resource for the community in Ramsey, Garth and across the other parishes. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper with more details.
The petition, started by Chair Paul Wetherill, says the site allowed residents to drop off unwanted items that were still in good condition, which others could then take and reuse. He adds that since its closure, the community has felt the absence of this vital facility. The reuse shed has been closed following a period of instability at the Northern Civic Community site earlier this year, when it was threatened with permanent closure. It's now run by the Department of Infrastructure, and Ramsey commissioners operate the site on its behalf. Mr Wetherill, who's also a BALAF commissioner, says reopening the area would bring numerous benefits, including reducing landfill waste and lessening the environmental footprint of the community. He believes it would reflect well on the community and would also help to reinforce the island's commitment to sustainable practices. The reuse shed allowed people to take things for free, which the petition says served as a bridge for economic relief for many people, and that its reopening would support people who are vulnerable in the area, providing them access to necessary goods during challenging economic times. He adds that Ramsey commissioners and the Department of Infrastructure have the power to reopen the shed. Mr Wetherill believes the authorities could restore a significant community asset, but also demonstrate a commitment to innovation and sustainability practices. The petition also says the commissioners and government need to consider the impact the facility has on people and the environment.
Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper with that report. Now, earlier in the programme, we heard about the efforts to ensure food produced on the Isle of Man is eaten here. Well, one farmer says the island's recent success at an international food competition is an example of why we should be doing just that. You may remember on the programme yesterday, we spoke with Lewis about the 15 food products from the island receiving Great Taste Awards. That annual competition, which is described as a robust and complex, with a panel of more than 500 industry experts judging the products. The Manx Lockton Chorizo took a top prize, a three-star award this year. It also won three stars last year too. Jenny Shepherd is behind the project and product and told Chanel Suku why she feels we should be shouting more about the food produced here on island.
We're tiny. That is just amazing for the island. We have some fabulous producers here. We did exceptionally well. We did get 3-star, and I'll give you the perspective on that in a minute. 3-star for our Manx Lockton chorizo, 2-star for our Manx Lockton salami, and 1-star for our Manx Lockton sassison. In the Great Taste, out of these 14,500 entrants, less than 2% will get 3 stars. So it's a tiny number. 10% get 2 stars, and about 28% get 1 star. So 1 and 2 stars are really quite, you know, it really says something. Well, they all do. But the Isle of Man, I mean, we weren't the only ones. Angelica Bell, they got 2 2-stars and 2 1-star. Lush Bakery had 3 1-stars. It's a phenomenal achievement for a tiny island. We should be shouting and saying, you know, we're a foodie haven. We produce superb meat. We produce all these superb fish. And you've got all these producers doing exciting things.
As Jenny Shepherd speaking to Chanel Suku about the Manx Lockton Chorizo after it won a top prize, a 3-star award at this year's Great Taste Awards. That sounds good. I've never actually had a Manx Lockton Chorizo, so maybe I'll head on down. I don't reckon you can get it in Tesco, though, can you? All right, let's take a look at sports just after this.
This is Manx Radio, but you knew that already. Did you know there's another Manx Radio 24 hours a day?
Manx Radio Gold.
Playing the greatest hits on earth from the 60s and 70s, the 80s, 90s and beyond.
Manx Radio Gold.
On your smart device, select the Manx Radio app, press gold, and there it is, 24 hours a day with the greatest hits on earth.
Manx Radio Gold.
Or say, Alexa, play Manx Radio Gold.
Manx Radio Gold.
Manx Radio Gold plays the greatest hits on earth 24 hours a day. Now on your smart device.
Well, it's 22 minutes past 5 here on Manx Radio. Let's turn our attention to sport. The annual Le Dans Cycling Challenge takes place in Gerby this weekend, and entries have been extended until 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Tonight. Over 24 hours, participants will put their stamina to the test around Gerby race circuits, all in aid of the Dan Neen Charitable Fund. This year marks 7 years since the island lost Dan Neen, a popular TT rider who was killed during a qualifying session for the 2018 races. Dan's partner, Leanne Harper, has been speaking to Lewis Foster about the weekend's event.
It's a 24-hour cycle race, so we start from 12 p.m. But for this year, we've actually got an added 8-hour event in as well, which is running alongside our 24-hour event. So obviously, if people can't commit for the 2 days, they can just jump on for the 8-hour event, which has been very popular, which is great news. So we've also got the Petite Le Dans, which is like children's event, if you like. So we have like an age group race in the morning.
The tagline for it this year is great. No sleep required is the first line. Those people out there taking it on themselves, how do they do it?
Just, you know, it's actually incredible what the body and the mind can do. And with it being at Gerby track, obviously it's just round one circuit, so it is very mentally challenging. But yeah, there's people that just don't, they obviously stop, get a bit of food on board, get a bit of water on board and things like that, but they will just keep chugging away. The solo winner last year, Charlotte Casement, she did over 300 miles last year, which is an absolute phenomenal amount.
And of course, all for the Dan Neen Charitable Fund. In memory of Dan, tell us all about it and what that money goes towards.
Yeah, so obviously we lost Dan 7 years ago now, and he was a keen cyclist himself, so we've kind of just, you know, it's something to celebrate him each year, you know, a good remembrance challenge. And now we've really got this new avenue, and it's called Talk. So it's a project that's been created by the Dan Neen Charitable Fund, and it's now to support mental health in the motorbike industry. We provide coaches, so if riders, families, marshals. We're helping all of them in the industry, but also with Le Dan's, we've kind of wanted to express, obviously, we are raising funds to provide that service, but also to, you know, recognise that sometimes sports can be quite mentally challenging, especially at higher levels. Yeah, it's just so we can just put a bit of awareness out really as well for other events too.
Leanne Harper speaking to Lewis Foster there, and you can find out all those details on how to enter, plus an extended interview with Leanne over at manxradio.com. Right, it's 24 minutes past five. We can now say hello to sports editor Rob Pritchard. Fastamai,
Christian. First off tonight in motorsport, John McGuinness MBE will be the first on the road for the historic Junior Classic race at the 2025 Classic TT. The top 20 seeded riders for the class have been confirmed, with 23-time TT champion McGuinness away on the number one plate for the Steadplan Racing Team in a field dominated by Honda CB350K4 machinery. Also among the first three riders out on course will be 2023 senior MGP winner and Manxman Joe Yeardsley on the Ken Rutter Racing Honda at number two, and 2025 double TT winner Dean Harrison on Honda Power, provided by Craven Classic Racing Ted Wolf. Elsewhere across the seeded entries are multiple current TT competitors turning their hand to classic racing. They include Jamie Coward at number 4, Michael Evans at number 5, Davey Todd at number 8, Michael Sweeney at number 13, and more besides. And this year's Classic TT will take place on the Snaefell Mountain course from the 17th to the 29th of August and will run parallel to the 2025 Manx Grand Prix. Elsewhere, Isle of Man cyclist Cameron Hounsell has taken a gold medal at this year's National Youth and Junior Track Championships in the UK. The team RL360 Isle of Man rider took top spot in the Open Youth Kieran race at the National Cycling Centre in Manchester. In a hotly contested event, Hounsell claimed the national title ahead of ESV Manchester rider George Harold, who claimed silver, and Welwyn Wheeler's CC competitor Elijah Storty, who completed the podium in third. All the championships, which are running from Monday to Friday this week, they feature some of the best young cycling talents across Britain, with competitors up to the age of 16 vying for domestic success and those up to 18 battling out for the junior national crowns. And the Isle of Man men's and women's tennis squads faced tough competition during this year's respective Summer County Cup competitions. During two separate busy schedules from the 21st to the 25th of July, the men's side travelled to Manchester to take part in men's Group 7 of their tournament, with the women's side contesting women's Group 7 in Frinton-on-Sea. The only Isle of Man victory on the board across both came from the female squad, as their 5-4 success over Shropshire saw them finish third out of the four sides in their group. Meanwhile, the men's team finished with a tough run of five consecutive losses to finish bottom of their section. Along with their sole victory during that week, the women's side also ran south of Scotland close, only narrowly on the wrong side of a 5-4 defeat to their Scottish opponents. And the women's team were handed 6-3 losses to both Cumbria and Oxfordshire, as well as a 7-2 loss to Wiltshire. And for the Isle of Man men's squad, they lost out to Bedfordshire, Gloucestershire, Channel Islands and Cumbria by 7-2 scorelines before a 9-0 defeat at the hands of Cornwall.
Grimmaya, thank you very much for that. Rob, have you ever had Manx Lockton Chorizo?
I haven't, no.
No, it sounds good though, doesn't it?
It does sound good.
Yeah,
all
right. I think we'll have to go and get some out of this. That is it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Shaq Clare with Bob Carswell after this. He'll be followed by Chris Kinney with Greatest Hits. After that is Maurice Powell, who has A Little Light Music. And then Rhian Evans with you till tomorrow with After Hours. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. Until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.